Let's take our seats, and as we do, let's turn together in God's Word. Let's turn to Psalm 84. We're going to read the Psalm. It's 12 verses, and then we're going to turn to John chapter 4. But first, reading in Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And then turning to John chapter 4 and reading from verse 19. John 4 and verse 19. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. This is the word of God. As we come to God's word this morning, we do so in the context of a holiday season. A holiday season where some of us perhaps have already been away, and others are looking forward to being away. Some of us are maybe going to be having this year what is referred to these days as a staycation. Instead of a vacation, you just stay where you are, but perhaps get some time to yourself or some time to do some other things. For many of us, looking forward to our holiday is a time to really rest and relax and to recharge our batteries and get refreshed. The way that many of us perhaps over the years have done that is by including within our holidays sometimes attendance at a conference. I remember as a wee boy getting taken along to what was called Filey. Who here has ever been to Filey? Yeah, lots of hands going up there. It started as a convention operated by the Movement for World Evangelization. And then when that kind of came to an end, it moved into what became known as Spring Harvest and then Word Alive, and some of us have been there. And then there's the summer convention that I know that many of us make part of our annual holiday year by year. And that is going to Keswick. Who's been to Keswick? Again, lots of hands going up. And we would say to ourselves, we go along, and particularly it's Keswick I'm thinking of here, how we go along to Keswick, and there's that opportunity there in the lakes. And as someone said, you know, if you go to Keswick and complain about the rain, you have to pause and remember that it is, of course, called the Lake District. It's not the Lake Desert, it's the Lake District. But amidst all the rain, we're able to get the refreshment of Bible ministry, and many of us seek to go there for at least a week, year by year. But as we come to Psalm 84, the author of this psalm is thinking not so much about getting to Keswick or getting to Word Alive or to any of the other conferences that we can attend from time to time. He's thinking about getting to Jerusalem. He's thinking about the way that people will make their pilgrimage up to Jerusalem, up to the temple. There would be opportunities throughout the year to make their way at special feast times. And as they would make their way from wherever it was that they might find themselves living, they would be looking forward to being in Jerusalem, looking forward to being there in the temple, looking forward to just that sense of excitement with so many others round about them, and looking forward to knowing God's refreshment. For many, that's what pilgrimage is, when they have a set pattern and a place that they long to go to and know that in going there, they will find God's refreshing. But as we come to these verses this morning, I ask the question, is it pilgrimage that we are called to follow? Or are we actually called to be pilgrims? Are we called to be those who live our lives following after the Lord Jesus? Or simply those who perhaps identify a visit here, a visit there, you know, whether it's Keswick or whether it's Cherish or whatever conference it may be spread throughout the year? Is that where we go to get recharged? Or instead, are we called to be pilgrims on a journey following after the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at what the psalmist says here. He says he longs, his soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. There's a longing for a sense of God's presence here. It's right at the outset of this psalm. He speaks of the beauty of that dwelling place. His soul, he says, yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. A longing for God's presence, is that not what we all seek? A sense of God's presence with us. There's almost a sense of envy in the psalmist's heart when in verse 3 he says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. I've got to confess that as a young boy being taken along to Keswick, I probably found just as much excitement on those occasions when a bird would find its way into the tent, and you'd watch this bird flying here, there, and everywhere. And I would probably start fidgeting and probably start getting an elbow in the ribs, because we weren't there to watch birds. We were there to listen to what was being said. But the psalmist thinks of the sparrows in the temple, the swallow with her nest. And it's as if he thinks, I wish I could be there. I wish I could be in that place where God's presence seems so symbolically to be centered. And of course, in Israel in those days, in the days of the psalmist, that is where they came to meet with God. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That was the place that God had decreed and God had chosen that he would meet with his people there in the temple. And therefore, that is where they would go. We continue on through the psalm. The psalmist says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Then there comes certainly in my Bible that little Hebrew term, Selah. Selah. Like so many of these words that the psalmist uses, we're not 100% certain of how best to translate it or what it means, but one of the most helpful ways of looking at that word Selah is simply to say, think about that. Just pause. Pause and think. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. The psalmist thinking of those times when he would make the journey. How much more blessed are those who never leave. Those who are able to be in the temple day by day, enjoying a sense of God's presence there. We don't really know anything of the background to this. There's a sense also in the words of the psalmist that he's not only longing for God's presence, he's also longing for God's strength. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who set their hearts on pilgrimage. Many of us find ourselves by the time that the opportunity comes for a break to be tired. Sometimes they say it takes the first few days just to start to get a sense of our strength back and then actually enjoy our holiday. But the psalmist says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. They have set their hearts on pilgrimage. There's this longing for God's strength. And the psalmist pictures the journey, bringing them through a place of dryness. You know, this word can either mean trees, a particular kind of tree, the balsam tree, a tree that would tend to grow best in places where it's dry, where it's arid, grows best in the desert. There's something in the words here of the psalmist saying, through that valley of dryness, through that arid place, even as they pass through it, they know where they're heading. They're heading to Jerusalem. They're heading toward the temple. They're on a journey. They're on a pilgrimage. Do you know there's another word that Baca can be translated as? It's the word weeping. It's maybe not just the physical tiredness. It's maybe not even the spiritual dryness the psalmist is thinking of. But it's the burden, the weariness, the pain. And through this valley of weeping, through this dry valley, the psalmist says, as they pass through there with their hearts set on pilgrimage, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Can you relate to that? That simply sometimes the anticipation of seeking after God's strength and God's presence, the sense of knowing that we're going to be in a place where there is a sense of fellowship and a sense of refreshing is enough to keep us going. It's enough to transform. To transform us from that tiredness, that weariness, that dryness, to know soon we'll be in a place where we'll be refreshed spiritually. And do we not also hope on our holidays physically as well? We long for that. But the psalmist here is saying that as they make their way in pilgrimage to Jerusalem. They're longing for God's strength. That valley of dryness, that valley of weeping, becomes a place of springs. The autumn rains cover it with pools. And he says they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion on a journey. But that journey is going to that place where they seek and where they know they will have a very real sense of God's presence. Right in the middle of the psalm, verse 8, verse 9, psalmist then says, "Hear my prayer. Listen to me. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one." The psalmist cries, "Lord, hear us. You are our God." Says, "You're the God of Jacob." The psalmist looks back and reminds God that he was the God who brought his people through so much in the past. Who was Jacob? Jacob was the one who God used in such a way, and from whom God brought Joseph. The one who had a place in God's purpose. There with Abraham and Isaac and Moses, one of the great fathers of God's people. The psalmist says, "You were Jacob's God. You're my God too." And then he says, "Look with favor on your anointed one." We cannot immediately date the psalm. So we cannot say with certainty, was he referring to one of their earthly kings? And if so, what earthly king was he referring to? We cannot say that with certainty. But let's remember that every time we see that word, anointed one, that word is Mashiach. Or as we would say it, Messiah. Messiah. Even in this verse, in Psalm 84, the psalmist causes us to look forward to the anointed one, the one who God will send. Verse 10, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." He's back thinking about the temple. He's back thinking about how good it is to actually be there and just be in God's presence and be there with others. He said, "You know, one day there would be better than 1,000 anywhere else." Actually, the idea is, in the tents of the wicked, is to cause the people to think of earthly pleasures. No matter what pleasure they would find in those tents, the psalmist says, "I'd rather have one day in God's presence than 1,000 days with the world's pleasures." Is that our perspective? Is that my perspective? I'd rather have one day knowing God's presence than 1,000 days and what the world has to offer me. Yet the wonderful reality, friends, is that it doesn't simply have to be one day. Yes, the psalmist says, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I would rather be there and know His presence." But is that really what it's about? Yes, the psalm continues and speaks of the God who bestows favor and honor, the one who will not withhold any good thing from those who walk in a blameless way. "O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you." And that's Psalm 84, a psalm of longing, a longing for God's presence, a longing for God's strength, and a call to trust Him. I don't know about you. I read verse 11 and it says, "From those whose walk is blameless." And I think to myself, Is that my walk? I know it's not. But what is our hope? Well, friends, the hope that we find, the hope that is held out to us, is not hope to simply make a pilgrimage to a place and somehow there recharge our batteries and then, as it were, come home again and get back into the daily grind. No, we're called, rather than simply going on a pilgrimage, to live the life of a pilgrim, as someone who follows after God, who trusts in God, and who knows that even though our walk may be blameless, may not be blameless, there is one whose walk was blameless. You know, when I set out to begin to prepare this message from Psalm 84, I didn't really imagine that we would find ourselves back where we were last Sunday morning, back in John chapter 4. But as the message began to take shape, I began to realize that there is a sense in which what takes place and what Jesus says there beside that well at Sychar in Samaria very much moves us on from Psalm 84 to where we are. Because if it's about a pilgrimage, then where is the pilgrimage? Is it to Keswick? Is it to Jerusalem? Where should we go? It's not ultimately about a pilgrimage to a place, friends. And that's the message that Jesus makes so clear. Makes so clear to this lady who he encounters by this well in John chapter 4. You know, as we noted last Sunday when we were looking at that passage as part of our time in the Word, we notice how he meets this woman and confronts her with her situation, which, again, was not blameless. And it's as if she almost tries to change the subject and says, well, you know, you're a prophet. I can see that. You wouldn't know so much about my private life, she says, if you weren't a prophet. But here's one for you. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. The mountain was called Mount Gerizim. But you Jews, she says, claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Well, what is the proper place? If we're to find God's presence, where do we have to go? This is the question she asks Jesus. And Jesus then moves into these remarkable words that are recorded for us from verse 21 onwards. He says, a time is coming when you'll worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. A time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Do you know what Jesus is saying to her? He's saying it's not about the place. It's about the presence. Is God present? Is God's Spirit present? We don't have to go to a place, no matter how anointed or how special we may imagine it to go there to meet God. Because as Jesus said to this woman, the time is coming and indeed has now come when those who truly seek to know God's presence don't have to go to a building, for they will know Him in their hearts. They will know His presence in their hearts. Continuing in John 4, the woman says, I know that Messiah, remember the anointed one, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Friends, I have nothing to do with these people who tell us, well, you know, Jesus didn't really declare himself to be God. Friends, there was a clear understanding that the Messiah would indeed be divine. And just as in a few chapters later, Jesus would make that same declaration before the Jews, here first he makes it before a Samaritan woman. He said, Messiah is here. I am He. Jesus had no doubts whatsoever about who He is. You see, friends, it's not so much about a pilgrimage to a place. No matter how pleasant, no matter how precious that place may be to us, what we're called to do is be pilgrims. People who are on a journey. Hebrews 11, verse 16. That's that wonderful passage where set out before us, as it were, a hall of fame. A hall of fame of faith. Of people whose lives were marked by their faith and their trust in God. And there in verse 16, right there in the middle of that passage, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, speaking of people like Abraham, says they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. They weren't simply saying, let's get to Jerusalem and that'll be the end of it. No. They knew that what God had in store for them was an eternal home, a heavenly home. And that's what being a pilgrim is all about. It's about following the Lord Jesus on that journey as we make our way there. Just like the pilgrim going to Jerusalem, that journey sometimes goes through dry valleys. Sometimes it leads us by the place of weeping. But the wonderful reality, friends, of the Christian pilgrim is we're never on that journey alone. Because on that journey, Christ is with us. He is our joy. He is our strength. This journey that we are called upon to follow is a journey which has an ending. In Revelation chapter 21, we see where that journey ends. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22. And John, as he is given this remarkable revelation of Christ and by Christ, and as he writes and speaks of no longer an earthly Jerusalem, no longer the earthly Jerusalem that the psalmist had thought of, no longer the Jerusalem that Jesus spoke of. For by the time John is writing these words, that Jerusalem was no more. That Jerusalem had been razed to the ground by the Romans. And John writes, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Friends, the presence of Christ through the journey and the presence of Christ in eternity is where the journey ends. That's the journey we're on as pilgrims. It's not simply just saying, let's get through today and then hopefully we'll have enough strength to get through tomorrow. Instead, it's people who say, the Lord is my strength today. And the Lord who has been my strength today will be my strength tomorrow. And even though over these coming days and weeks, some of us may have the opportunity to get away and get our batteries recharged physically and spiritually perhaps too, I hate to tell you, but sooner than rather than later, we'll be back to the daily grind. Where's our strength then? Let me tell you, it's not in looking forward to the next opportunity to get away. Instead, it's resting and relying in the one who is with us day by day. The one who walks this journey with us. The one who said he'll never leave us or forsake us. and the one who has said that the Christian life as a pilgrim is a life that has a destination. It has an end. Jesus. Jesus who came, Jesus who gave himself. Jesus who gave himself for people like me and you. People who do not, in all honesty, fit the criteria of Psalm 84 when it says, you want to know these blessings, you need to have a blameless walk. No. Jesus who came himself, the only truly blameless man who ever lived, and gave himself so that we can know God's forgiveness, so that we can know God's presence, and so that we can know God's promise. We journey together. And as we journey, Christ journeys with us and leads us not only through this life, but to that glorious day when he will be our temple. He will be the one with whom we will be with forever. And all because his Father loved us. And all because in love he willingly came and extends to us the glorious hope. Not just to head off on a pilgrimage, but the glorious hope of living day by day as those who follow Jesus, knowing that one day, at journey's end, we will find him to be the one in whose presence we live forever.